We were discussing points from Art of Chanting Hare Krishna, and we finished chapter 5 Saturday, I suppose. There was no class yesterday. Govardhan Parikrama. And we were discussing about Shudanam and how to prepare ourselves to receive Shudanam by becoming free from offenses and aparads. And that way we can position our minds, position our hearts in such a way that the pure holy name will feel attracted to live within our minds and hearts and reveal the splendor and the beauty and sweetness which we're looking for. Because from our side, we can only two things we can do. We can chant with aparads, that's called namaparad, or we can chant namabhas, or the semblance of pure name, means that without aparads. Namabhas. That's what we can do from our side. But Shudanam we can't chant. That must come from his side, from their side, his and her side. They must agree to descend to our hearts. It's kind of the same thing we see in the pastime of Damodar Leela, where Yashoda, she did her part. She did her sadhana. She did her endeavor. She chased after Krishna with a stick in her hand and a desire to bind him for his naughty behavior of stealing yogurt and butter. But and then she tried so many ropes to tie him up, but it was insufficient. She could not tie up Krishna. Because so that's the endeavor. That's her side, the sadhaka's endeavor to control the Lord, to bind the Lord, to attract the Lord. But until Krishna bestowed his mercy, she couldn't tie him up with thousands of ropes. And when he finally saw she was laboring so hard and perspiring and so much desirous to bind him, then she had piles and piles of ropes in front of Krishna, who became known as Damodar later. And she was saying, "This boy, I'm trying so much and the hours are passing and I'm so tired." And she put her hand like this, she said, Oh my son. Oh, I have this one rope tying my hair. That's one little rope. Sometimes they use some string of rope tying the hair. So she pulled this out and she said, "This is only like maybe 15 inches long. Let me try." And he's only a little baby, no? And she puts, "Hey, this works. I tied him." He said, "Yes, I will be bound by you. Yes, I'm attracted to you. Your endeavor, your surrender, your heart, your mood, your attitude, your purity, I'm attracted to it all. And I want to live in your heart. And you can bind me. I'll bind you and you bind me. Bhakta Bhagavan Prem Sambandha." That the Lord Bhagavan, and then his bhakta, his devotee, whether it's a mother or a friend or a lover or manjari or maidservant, by the beauty of their heart, they can bind Krishna. Sambandha means completely bound. Bund. We say nityabadha. Eternally bound. So bund means bound, tied up, controlled. And sama means completely, samyak, samyak bandha. So this is sambandha, that one becomes completely bound, hand and foot, as we say sometimes. Bound hand and foot. So Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna and his devotee, like his mother Yashoda or any pure devotee like this, they tie up Krishna in their hearts and Krishna ties them up in their hearts. And he can't forget them and they can't forget him. This is the loving power, the power of love. Love creates an impossibility in the heart. What is that impossibility? It makes a person, if someone is love and loves someone, it's impossible for them to forget the person they love. Impossible. And the gopis sometimes, they cry out to the Lord and they say, "Listen, all the yogis, all the great yogis and tapasvis, they're praying and they're trying to capture a glimpse of the toenails of Vishnu in their heart. And they're praying that they can bind up and control Krishna, keep Vishnu or some form of God in their hearts by their dhyana, by their meditation. And all glories to them. But as far as we're concerned, get out of our hearts. Krishna, just get out. Jao. Jao Saka. Go to Govardhan. Go to Nandagaon. Go anywhere, but leave us alone. We have no peace. You've just captured our minds. You've captured our hearts. You're pinching us. You're pulling us. You're drawing us. Because this word Krishna means to pull, to draw, to pinch, to attract. You're pulling us. You're drawing us. You're drawing our minds and hearts. And where you're drawing us? You're drawing us away from our housework. We can't feed the babies. We can't make the chapatis. We can't do anything. Because everywhere we look, everything we see, everything we feel is Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hey. Hey, you, get out of here. So this is how the gopis are praying. It's an extraordinary mood. We're doing everything we can to get Krishna in our heart for 1 second. Just if I can have 1 second sporty, that will drive me on for lifetimes. Narada Muni had 1 second sporty of Vishnu. Then it drove him on for lifetimes. He was only 5 years old. He went on for another 100 years. With 1 second sporty. Not even Krishna, Vishnu, Chaturbhuj Narayan. Such is the power of the pulling power of Krishna. So this is chapter 6. This is called Introduction to Hare Krishna Japa. This is a chapter about rules and different ideas. So we selected a few points that are worth hearing in terms of the essence. This is from Prabhupada's Madhyalila, where he's saying, of all the regulative principles, this means the vidhis. Vidhi means the rules, the regulations, the do's and don'ts, yamas and niyamas. Our Prabhupada is telling here in Madhyalila, or actually it's the, I guess it's a purport, Madhyalila 22.113. Of all the regulative principles, the spiritual master's order to chant at least 16 rounds a day is most essential. Now this is the Agyasara or the Shikshasara, Guru Shikshasara, the essence of the Guru Shiksha or teachings or instruction, or his Agya, his order, Guru Agyasara. The essence of his order is most essential. In other words, everything else can go wherever it goes. And sometimes it goes. But this chanting should always stay with us. We should be part of the chanting should be part of us. And Prabhupada is emphasizing that in several places, but this is in Madhyalila, chapter 22. This is Sanatana Shiksha, that section where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is instructing Sanatana Goswami on bhakti, sambandha, navideya, prayojan. Srila Prabhupada stressed 4 rules in japa. Does anyone want to be courageous and try to answer this? Srila Prabhupada, he stressed, it means he emphasized, or he stressed, because this is a chapter about rules, or this section is called rules. This is a section called rules. So Srila Prabhupada, he stressed 4 rules in japa, because I've read all of his different instructions about japa. And then I've gleaned from them 4 teachings, which are repeated in different places, but these are the 4 essential rules. And since we are disciples of Prabhupada, or say grand disciples or whatever, aspiring grandchildren of Prabhupada, we're like orphans right now, but we're aspiring to get adopted by the grandfather in his parivar. So then we can consider, well, what is our grandfather emphasizing in this mantra stuff, in this chanting of japa? What are the 4 things? Of course, all you seniors know these things, so you don't have to worry about answering. Anyone want to like tell me one rule in japa that Prabhupada stressed? Very good. Distinct, not extinct. Extinct means it doesn't exist. Distinct pronunciation. Extinct means dinosaurs and tyrannosaurus rexes. They're extinct animals. At least I haven't seen any lately. Maybe some in New York or something. Down in Harlem or something. But they're extinct. They're not around anymore. Like brahmacharis. In ISKCON, they're basically extinct species. Saffron cloth and other non-popular colors. So this is one rule that Prabhupada stressed. Distinct, exact, clear, that's exact, clear pronunciation. Everyone knows what pronunciation is? Hare Krishna. Like this. That's one. What's another one?
Wait,
Yeah, waking up is one thing, then what? You wake up, and then you may go back to sleep. That's one. And then also, Mati Sundari Dasi's, Devi Dasi's statement, early morning chanting. Wake up early and stay awake and chant Hare Krishna. Because Prabhupada, and this is what I say, the essence, because sometimes Prabhupada said, all your rounds should be done, all your japa, 16 rounds should be done before Mangalarti. All your 16 rounds should be done before 7 o'clock, when Sringar Arti and Bhagavatam class. And at last, all your rounds should be done by noon. That's the last straw. So, midnight, 6 p.m., or sunset, no, this is not permitted. But as they say, better late than never. So, something is better than nothing. So, but this is, I'm saying, these are the four rules that were stressed by the founder Acharya of ISKCON. Early morning chanting. So you have to. So for you, early morning may be 11 o'clock. If you take rest at 1, then 11 o'clock is very early in the morning. No? Or you take rest at 3, then, oh, I just slept 7, 8 hours. I got up and I was early. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So the Prabhupada is saying early morning means pratakal. Pratakal means 6 a.m. to 8:36, or even can be earlier. Then we heard distinct pronunciation. We also heard Bhakti Lukas say attentive hearing. We should hear very attentively. And as our Vrindavanas Thakur, he gave us some idea about that. He said, Shravan Ekman, that we should hear with one mind, which is a very rare thing to find, because usually we're people with many minds. You know, some phrase like that, many minds, many ways, or something. Some old phrase like that. Many minds, many ideas, or something. So each one of us has a plethora of minds within this one cranium, within this one skull or head. We have so many minds. I have a mind for this, and I have a mind for that, and a mind for you, and a mind for you, and a mind for everything. So he's saying this, Ekman, we should have one mind for hearing. So attentively hearing, our mind should be fixed. Everything on the sound vibration and the form of the Lord, His qualities and divine pastimes. So these are three of the four rules that Prabhupada stressed. Early morning chanting with distinct pronunciation. So that's the speaking or chanting part. Then hearing with attention. What's the other one? Fourth one. The full concentration. So this is similar to attentive hearing. In other words, the mind is there, the heart is there, the thinking is on the holy name. We're thinking holy name, we're feeling holy name, we're desiring holy name, we're concentrated. All the aspects of our being, our emotional being is concentrated in the holy name. Our psychic being, our psychic self, our mind, our thinking processes are concentrated on the holy name. Our hearts are concentrated in the holy name. And to such an extent that we shut out everything else. We don't hear anything else. We don't hear the cell phone. Why? Because it's turned off. This is the twelfth offense in chanting japa. You've heard of 10, and then our Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas like Vishwanath and over the last 200 years they have added one more. Right? Then the 11th offense, which Bhaktivinoda and Vishwanath added to the 10, because there's only 10 listed in Prabhupada's books, and there's only 10 listed in Padma Puran, where these originate. But then these divine acharyas, they added one more called inattentive chanting. So, of course, we can't be so presumptuous, but in our own small way, we want to add a 12th offense. And the 12th offense is to chant the holy name with your cell phone turned on, because this is equivalent to inattentive chanting. If your cell phone is turned on, that means your one mind, or so many minds are fixed on the cell phone and waiting for it to ring. Who's going to call me? He has to call me. I have to talk to him. He has to talk to me. It's very, very important. Much more important than God. God, who is this God? This God is this blue boy. So just to repeat, because they're important, and we should try to embody them, or let's say imbibe them, and follow them in our chanting of japa. And every day is a chance to improve. And every moment is a chance to improve if we have the intention. So, I don't know where to start here with this thing. Let's try it here. So again, Srila Prabhupada stressed four rules in japa. Early morning chanting, full concentration, distinct pronunciation, and hearing attentively. And this is again the Prabhupada letter from 1972. Chanting japa should be done early in the morning with full concentration, preferably during the Brahma Muhurta time, which means before Mangal Arati. Concentrate fully on the sound vibration of the mantra. By pronouncing each name distinctly, your speed and chanting will gradually increase naturally. Do not worry so much about chanting fast. The most important thing is hearing. That's everything. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. We hear about our Haridas Thakur, who was a Namacharya, and he was chanting 3 lakhs a day. His chanting of 3 lakhs a day was taking 12 to 14 hours. He was which many people don't realize or know. In other words, he was chanting 16 rounds per hour. So in 4 hours, that's 64 rounds. So in 12 hours, if he was a little tired, then he would stretch it out to 13. 13 hours, 192 rounds. 300,000 names of Radha and Krishna. Haribo. All glories. Namachari Haridas Thakur ki jai. Because when we first joined, we were under the impression that he was chanting 22 hours a day. I don't know about you, but we were under this impression that, oh, he's chanting 22 hours a day and he's only sleeping too. So we thought, wow. Then when we came to India and started meeting sadhus and they're chanting 3 lakhs, 4 lakhs, 5 lakhs a day. Meeting sadhus chanting 5 lakhs a day. 5 lakhs means 4 hours, that's 4 hours is 3 lakhs, and 5 hours is, I mean, what did I say? 12 hours, wait a minute. 12 hours is 3 lakhs, 13 hours is 4 lakhs, 14, 15 hours, 5 lakhs. And as we said the other day, the only thing we know about lakhs is that we're very lax in our chanting. It's the only thing I know about lakhs. L-A-C-S and L-A-X. Lax means lazy. I'm very lazy in my chanting. I'm not chanting lakhs and lakhs. 5 lakhs a day? How about 2? How about 1? Can you give me 1? Can I give it on an installment basis? Can I give you 1 lakh every 4 days? Ocha, alright. Alright. Every 4 days, I'll pay you 4 lakh. 1 lakh. Is that okay? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, that is okay. And my SPB, Srila Prabhupada Bank, you can make a deposit. Every 4 days, 1 lakh. You can be a lakhpati every 4 days. So this is one small section of this chapter 6. And I just have a few points here and there. If you have the book, you can read it. So this section is chanting japa, loud or silent. Because sometimes there's some different ideas. We should chant japa silently. No one should hear, not even us. So we do that every night when we're sleeping. We don't hear, you don't hear, no one hears. But believe it, we're chanting japa. But this same controversy happened 500 years ago. 500 years ago in Navadvipa, the local smarta Brahmins criticized Haridas Thakur for chanting loudly. They said, Haridas, why must you chant so loudly? Don't you know the actual Shastric injunction is to chant softly in your mind? Which scripture instructs you to chant loudly? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Just keep it to yourself. Mind your own business. Srila Haridas humbly replied, the principal effect of chanting the name of God is the effect of loud chanting, is that it purifies the soul 1,000 times more than any other form of worship. Nowhere in the scriptures is loud chanting of the holy name condemned. On the contrary, there are excellent benefits that have been described in many places. In one scripture it says, loud chanting of Lord Krishna's name is 1,000 times better than silent chanting. Is anyone awake enough to hear that? It says that loud means that you can hear it, everybody can hear it. Loud chanting of Krishna's name is 1,000 times better. It means more purifying, more beneficial, more advantageous, will help you advance more than silent chanting. Then one dubious Brahmin demanded, why is the result of loud chanting magnified 1,000 times over any other process? Haridas replied, oh Brahmin, please try to understand that when any living entity, be it man, bird, or beast, hears the holy name chanted by a pure devotee, he goes directly to Vaikuntha after leaving this body. He or it or whatever. The bird, the beast, anyone. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Haridas, now he's quoting Shastra Praman, evidence from Shastra to back up his philosophy or his points. He's saying, 10th canto, chapter 34, verse 17 says, O Achyuta, anyone who chants your name purifies all who hear his chanting as well as himself. Haridas continued, one who chants the holy name to himself liberates himself only, but one who chants the Lord's name loudly liberates anyone who hears him. The sound of the Lord's name is beneficial for everyone. Therefore, all scriptures assert that loud chanting of the Lord's name is 1,000 times more effective than any other religious process. Prahlad Maharaj says in the Naradiya Purana, this is another Praman, Shastra Praman, Japato Hari Namani Stana Shat Gunadika Atmanatcha Punat Yucher Japan Shotrin Punati Cha. Prahlad said, a person who chants Harinam loudly is 100 times superior to one who chants quietly. A person who chants quietly only purifies and benefits himself. Whereas, one who chants loudly certainly benefits himself, plus he purifies all who hear him, such as birds, beasts, insects, trees, and plants. Such living entities cannot chant Krishna's names, but they can be delivered from the ocean of birth and death simply by hearing Harinam. So this is Haridasa Kaura's refutation of the challenge from the doubtful Brahmins of Navadri, Smarta Brahmins. So his conclusion is, or Srila Prabhupada's conclusion also on the same point, is that loud chanting is best. Of course, your guru may have some other idea. Your Diksha Guru. His advice may vary in detail. But all gurus will agree in the principle that everyone should chant the holy name of the Lord. But the detail is how many rounds, loud or quiet, here or there, whatever. That's a detail. So the gurus have license to modify the detail, but not to abandon the principle. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Stevana, Stevana, Stavya, Gatya, Nita. This Kali Yuga, this is the way. Harinam. So Prabhupada is let's see here that this is the conclusion. Srila Prabhupada's conclusion is that loud chanting is best, and there's some introduction, then we'll hear Prabhupada's direct statement. In this age of quarrel and conflict, it is very difficult to do manasik japa. Manasik japa means within the mind, silently within the mind. In fact, if one is to actually perfect this type of japa, it's not very easy, really, to chant this properly. Then he can't even move the tongue. The tongue is supposed to rest either in just supposed to be passive, not even moving, not waving or moving around. It's resting. As when you're sleeping, the tongue is not moving. It's just passive. And then the mind, only the mantra, the Maha Mantra, is moving through the mind. So obviously, this is a very difficult practice of self-control. Because the tongue is always moving. It's like this wind. It's just always touching the palate, touching the bottom, moving here and there, and looking around for something to eat or whatever. Inquiring from you, when we eating, when we going to eat, making some inquiry. Why is it difficult to do manasik japa? Because the mind is saturated with sinful thoughts and constantly disturbed by unlimited anxieties. With a troubled, impure mind, it is next to impossible to mentally chant the holy name. One acharya warned that one could even become an atheist by premature practice of manasik japa. He said, if you superficially try to chant silently in the mind, the opposition will be so great that you will be nowhere. You will turn into an atheist. That's quite an interesting statement. Then goes on here. Consequently, many acharyas recommend loud or murmuring japa. Murmuring means you're whispering. You can hear, but no one else. You're making some sound, but only you're whispering, murmuring. For new initiates, Srila Prabhupada himself preferred to chant audibly or loudly, which is called Vaikari Japa, which everyone can hear on the famous Sit Properly Japa tape. Srila Prabhupada describes his chanting. This is Prabhupada's own words, 1970. We have to follow great personalities. Haridas Thakur, he was chanting very loudly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted very loudly. So what more evidence do you want? My Guru Maharaj chanted loudly, and we are chanting loudly. So Prabhupada is representing the Parampara, Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara, and he himself is chanting very loudly, and his Guru is chanting very loudly, and the Guru of all Gurus of these Nimai Sampradaya or Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was also chanting very loudly. In one purport, Prabhupada tells exactly how to chant japa. Quote, Adi Lila 17, verse 32. Chanting Hare Krishna involves the activities of the upper and lower lips, as well as the tongue. All three must be engaged in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. The words Hare Krishna should be very distinctly pronounced and heard. Sometimes one mechanically produces a hissing sound instead of chanting with the proper pronunciation with the help of the lips and tongue. Chanting is very simple, but one must practice it seriously. So what is this hissing sound? You know? Can you tell me? What is this hissing? This is hissing. Hissing means this. Hissing means like this, like a snake. It's Brahmar. Brahmar Jap. Brahmar is a bumblebee. Brahmar Jap. So this is some type of hissing japa, no? So Prabhupada, he saw it happening. It was happening right there. And he saw it way back when, and he wrote it in Adi Lila, chapter 17. This is a mechanical hissing sound. So obviously one is lazy. His tongue, he has lazy tongue. Lazy tongue and lazy lips. Prabhupada also explains how loud chanting prepares one to chant Hare Krishna successfully at the time of death. That's the big one. That's the big test. This is a purport from 6th Canto, chapter 2, verse 49. While the body is fit, healthy, must. Therefore, why should we not chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly? If one does so, it is quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be properly able to chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. This is determination to chant daily rounds. This is a big problem. Lack of determination. In Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna, he discusses this phenomenon, or this bad quality, we can say. Yesham twantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva nirdvanda bhajanti mandrida vrata. He says, drida vrata, drida bhajan, to be determined in bhajan, it's a problem. So it's a problem because of sin. Agha. Because of sin, mental contamination, heart contamination. Yesham twantakatam papam jananam punyakarmana te dvandva moha nirmuktam bhajanti mam dridava te dvandva moha nirmuktam. That when we are free, nirmuktam, from dvandva, when we are free from dualities, like and dislike, heat and cold, happiness and distress, friends and enemies. Oh, I like you. I don't like you. We are free from friends and enemies. He said this about me, and she said this about you. Sure. Well, I'll show her, and I'll show him. I'll take the two of them and don't crack their heads together like the Three Stooges. So, this doesn't make it. This is a dvandva. Te dvandva moha nirmuktam. This is moha. This creates illusion, conflict, disturbance in the mind. So then you can't be determined if you're disturbed and confused and have all these considerations and calculations. He's my friend, he's my enemy. Oh, I can't go there because he's there. Or I can't go there because she's there. And so our movement is constricted. Our talking is constricted by these dualities. So when we become free, then we can become determined. That's one aspect. And the other aspect is that we are prisoners. So a prisoner is not free. A prisoner is bound by chains, by the prison cell, by his term of imprisonment, by the time factor. He's bound for 20 years, 30 years. He's locked in to the prison room. Or cell, rather, they call it prison cell. It's not a cell phone. It's a cell. It's a box, a cement box with bars on the windows and bars on the door. Bars for doors. There's no door, there's only bars. So then, what are those bars? What is that prison? The four walls of sin. Yesham twantakatam papam. Jaranam punyakarmanam. So when one is a papi, a papishta, he is an abode of sin. Then he's suffering so much parabdha, so much reaction from his sinful activities in this life and previous life. So he's bound by that. He's contaminated, he's controlled, he's restricted by that. His movement, his thinking. But that's counteracted by punyakarmanam. When he engages in punyakarmanam, what is punyakarmanam? Shrinvatam swakata krishna punya shavana kirtana. Krishna says in second canto of Bhagavatam that this is punya, Krishna Shravan. To hear about Krishna's Nam, Rup, Gun and Leela, this is punya, punati. Punati means purifying. Punya shloka, Krishna's described as punya shloka. There's so many shlokas which glorify Krishna. And by hearing those, we become purified. Samashrite ye, padapalava plavam, Mahatpadam punya shomarari. Pavambudhya vatsa padam patanti yado nadricha yushmadangreya. So in Brahma's prayers, he's giving so many beautiful shlokas. One is samastrita ye padapalava plavam. The one surrenders to Krishna, completely surrenders samastrita ye padapalava plavam. Mahatpadam punya shomarari. That punya show, that marari, that flute player, that enchanting, captivating, beautiful, sweet flute player, his punya shomarari. His fame is purifying, punya yasho. Yasho means fame. When you hear about his fame and you read about him and remember him, it becomes punya. It's purifying. So, yesham tanta katam papam jananam punya karmanam. When the person becomes a person, a jana, like us, a devotee, when we become punya by our actions, Karmana means our actions. By our hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, by our chanting holy name, as our heart becomes more purified, we become more determined. Why aren't we determined to chant our rounds? Because of impurity, because of sins, and because of duality and moha, or moha. So this is the basic, foundation of this problem. It's due to impurity and duality. Duality is a result of ignorance. This dualistic vision. Dualistic vision, friends and enemies, heat and cold, it's all due to ignorance. When we get Advaya Gyan, or spiritual knowledge, then we can see what is true, what is real, beyond the pale of duality. So this is Atma-Tattva Gyan, Atma-Tattva Gyan, to get knowledge of the self, and knowledge of the world, and who I am, and who is God. And then we can live properly in a balanced viewpoint, free from all the impulse, all these pushings of duality. So we find that devotees have this problem with determination. There's one short story that I made a note here that I heard one preacher telling. He said once Kali had a meeting. This is Kali Yuga. So Kali had a meeting, had a board meeting. And he had this meeting and with all his representatives. Kali called all his representatives together. The lust came there, and greed, envy, and hatred, anger. All the friends of Kali, all his ministers and helpers, as a board meeting, they had a meeting together. And then Kali was asking them, "What will you do? What is your contribution for my age, for my Kali Yuga, my Yuga of Kali? What are you going to do?" So lust said, "Oh, Kali, listen. My job, what I will do is make everyone lusty. I'll make everyone very, very lusty. All the men will become so lusty for women, and women will become so lusty for men." And Kali said, "Yes, this is a very good contribution. This is very, very good. I can use you in my government. I have a big plan to engage you. Yes, if you can work together with me cooperatively, we can do a lot of big things together. Me and you can go really far together. Lust and Kali." So then he patted him on the head and he said, "That's very good." Then he asked, "Greed." He said, "Greed, can you tell me what is your program? What is your program? What is your contribution for Kali Yuga?" And Greed said, "Oh, Kali, listen. I will make people so greedy. They'll become greedy for anything and everything. They'll just be day and night seething with greed. Burning with greed. They'll have so many wants and so many desires that they'll just go crazy. They won't be able to sleep at night. They'll be so greedy." And Kali said, "Oh, yes, this is very nice. You are really a very good ally of mine. We should make a very strong and firm alliance. I will give you full cooperation if you work for me." He said, "Yes, I will work day and night for you, Kali." And then one representative came. He said, "What? Now I've heard from greed, and I've heard from lust, and I've heard from envy. What is your contribution, sir?" "Oh yes, my dear Kali, I have a very good plan." And Kali didn't recognize this person. He was not lust personified, not greed personified, not envy, hatred, anger. He said, "Yeah, I don't recognize you. Are you from ISKCON?" He said, "No. Acha, Gaudiyamath. Acha, are you from Radhakund?" "No, no. No, I'm not from Radhakund." He said, "Anyway, please, don't be shy. You speak up." So he said, "Kali, I am the personification of delay. Procrastination." "Acha. Oh, my, do tell. What is your idea? What is your contribution?" "Kali, when anyone in this world, if they ever desire to do anything good, I will enter their mind and I will create delay. Procrastination. Don't do it now. Do it tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. And I will delay all any good ideas to do any good thing or helpful thing to help themselves spiritually or help others or any kind of humanitarian or any kind of good thing or good idea they have or good quality or develop something good thing, especially spiritual things. I will enter in their mind and will create so much delay, so much hesitation, and they'll just say, yes, I must read these spiritual books of Srila Prabhupada. I got them, maybe tomorrow. Then next day, oh yes, now I have free time, it's my day off. Now I'll read this book. Oh, but I have to pay my electric bill. Maybe when I come back. And delay, delay, delay. It's called procrastination. And Kali said, oh, this is very clever. This is a very interesting contribution. Because if you and I work together, then no one in the age of Kali will ever do anything at any time that is good. Everyone will only do black and bad and dastardly deeds. And everyone will remain in my grip. This is what I want. I am the age of darkness, sin personified. Yes. Please, never leave me. Always contribute to my program of debauchery, sin, delay, procrastination. Never let anyone do anything good at any time. So this story was told. So therefore, that when it comes to, yes, I should chant my rounds before Mangalarti. It's a very good idea. Yes, I'll take rest early. Yes, I'm in bed. It's 8 o'clock. I'm ready. I will jump out at 2 o'clock and spill the water on the floor. So then next day, again, 2 o'clock. Bum, 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 bum. So many alarm clocks. I have 2 or 3. And then I jump up. Oh, it's 2 o'clock. I'm going to finish my rounds now. Oh, 2 o'clock. What are you up so early for? 2 o'clock, no, you can chant fast. Why you? Listen, you know, 2 o'clock by 4:30, you know, you can chant at 1.5 hours. Hey, go back to sleep. You get up at 3. By 4:30, you can finish your rounds. Acha. Oh, that's a very good idea. 3 a.m. Ah. And then delay personified. Ah. Yes, he's in my control. He's procrastinating. Then 3:30 comes. Wow, that clock. 3:30. Oh, it's 3:30. Oh, I only have an hour now. I really have to get on my rounds. I started chanting. And then the cell phone. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, who is it? Oh, sure. No, I have to finish my rounds. I'll call later. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. It's really important call. Oh, anyway, I have all day to chant my rounds. I can chant my rounds later. Ah, hello? Ah, gee, ah. Narayan, acha. Kaha malenge, kaha malenge, kaha malenge. Narada Muni, yeah, this is Narada Muni. Narayan, when will I meet you? Kaha malenge, kaha malenge. Acha. Oh my God, it's 4:15. God, how much did it cost me? Cost me 79 rupees it cost to talk to Narayan. And I only have 2 rounds done. Oh, I have to get to Mangalarti. So, such a good idea. You took rest at 8, that was sure. You were in bed by 8. But the getting up and the good thing of chanting, oh, well, you know, we have all day, right? So this is the personification of delay. Don't do now what you can do tomorrow. Remember that. This is a very popular expression. Never think about doing anything that's good now. But if something bad, oh yeah, something bad, let's do it now. If it feels good, do it now, Jack. So this is one of Kali's greatest agents in the age of Kali, is to delay, procrastinate. Saying the Hare Krishna mantra once on each of the 108 beads of a Japamala constitutes one round. Chanting a fixed number of rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra Japa is the most urgent necessity and important engagement of a devotee's each and every day. Believe it or not. You may not believe it, cell phone, newspaper, TV, BBC. First, Japa, later. The Airtel number you have reached is engaged. Please call later. You are about to chant Japa? Please chant later. It's the most urgent necessity, an important engagement of a devotee's each and every day. This should be our sankalpa. This is my most urgent necessity. I must chant my Japa first thing. Everything else is secondary, second thing. This is primary. Oh, this and that. So this is Kali's action. This is Kali's mesmerization. Mesmerization, hypnotism, bewilderment, confusion, trickery, jadu. Jadu? Jadu? Magic. Jadu. Chanting the 16 rounds should be completed before anything else. There are many Vaishnavas in Vrindavan who will not even drink a drop of water until they finish 64 rounds. Unfortunately, for many devotees, this vital activity is often relegated to a secondary position, while other concerns like body, family cares, and tasks at hand take priority. Under illusion, one wakes up in the morning thinking, I have many pressing things to do. Emails, phone calls, reading the newspaper, and watching televised news. What's the hurry? I have all day to chant my rounds. Hari Bol. Chanting Krishna's holy names, the very life breath of the soul, becomes a mere trifling thing to do at some other time. Pity. Pity. How what should be done first is done last. In describing the word determination, Srila Prabhupada said that chanting the holy names of Krishna is more important than eating and sleeping. Quote, 1974, Srila Prabhupada, if you cannot finish 16 rounds, then you must not sleep on that day and you must not eat. Hari Bol. He didn't say that. Why don't you forget to eat? I have never forgotten to eat. Why do you forget chanting Hare Krishna? This is negligence. Aparad. Offense. Rather, you should forget your sleeping and eating and finish 16 rounds. This is called determination. Although shastras and sadhus show the need for chanting a fixed number of rounds daily, sadhakas or sadhaks in this dismal age of Kali often lack the determination to finish their daily quota. Lack of determination is caused by... Any guesses? I already told some of the answer. In other words, we lack the determination. Why do we lack determination? Why do we procrastinate? Why do we put off till later? Don't do now what you can do tomorrow. What are the causes for this? I guess that although there's three listed here, it's really one in one sense. Lack of determination is caused by residual sins, mental impurity, and attachment to sense enjoyment, which basically are one thing, but it's listed like that. Residual sins, which means you can say purva pap or purva karma or purva karma. And mental impurity just means the, what's the term? Vishnu Chakravarti uses one term. He says, ridaya durbalyam, weakness of heart, which means also this envy and all these things, and attachment to sense enjoyment. Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita, Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam. One is attached to Bhogaishvarya, one is attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, he can never be resolute in his determination to practice bhajan. He He's too much after money and bhog. Bhog Aishvarya Prasaktanam. Asakti. He's very much asakti. Prakrishnarena asakti. He's really firmly, deeply rooted and deeply attached. Bhog Aishvarya Prasaktanam. Taya Parita Chetasam. His cheta cannot be fixed. So this is told in Bhagavad Gita in chapter 2. So one who likes too much bhog and enjoyment and opulent things and rich appointed things, he's very difficult for him to be resolute or determined in devotion. Incapable of maintaining a steady vow, some devotees chant whimsically. One day 16 rounds, one day 8, one day 64, and one day 10, and one day none. Zero. Zed. Rupa Goswami lists determination as one of the 6 favorable items for spiritual advancement. This utsaha is enthusiasm. What is it? Nishchayat. Utsaha nishchayat dharyat. This nishchayat means determination. Now these are from the thesaurus or dictionary that describes about the synonyms of words, related words, words that are related to the meaning of determination. So these are the words they give there, and you can think about these words. In other words, these words also imply determination, or they're included in this quality. The synonyms for determination include courage, force, willpower, resolve, and strength of mind. How can one obtain all these attributes and increase his determination? In Bhakti Alok, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, this one book, Bhakti Alok, it's a commentary on Upadeshamrita, Nectar of Instruction. In Bhakti Alok, Bhaktivinoda states that determination comes by, how does it come? By remembering and discussing the devotional practices of great souls like Sri Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and Thakur Haridas, and I've included here, and Srila Prabhupada. These are certainly the greatest souls that have graced the planet Earth over the last 500 years. Rupa and Sanatan, Das Goswami, Thakur Haridas Namacharya, and A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. So it's a very interesting thing. And the similar point, which is mentioned somewhere else, in Padma Puran, it's talking about this meditation on great souls. And it says that there, in Padma Puran, if someone meditates on a great personality, a great spiritual personality, and you're thinking of their divine qualities and their attributes and their lakshana and their personality and their contribution. If you meditate on all their good qualities of a great acharya or guru, then one sixth, which is how much is that? One fifth is 20%, so 1/6 is 14%, 18%, how much is that? 1/6. Like 1/2 is 50%, and 1/5 is 20%. So 1/6 is 16%, 16.5%. 16.5% times 6 equals 100. So 1/6 of their good qualities will come to you. Like, you know, in Australia they have this boomerang. You throw this piece of wood, it's shaped like a wedge type thing. You throw it this way, it goes out and it comes back. So this principle, this boomerang effect, boomerang, works in terms of aparad. If you think offensively about someone and you're casting aspersions and saying bad things or rebuking someone or just spreading bad rumors about someone, that's you're throwing out this boomerang, aparad boomerang, and it comes right back to you and cuts you, cuts your bhakti, cuts your creeper. It's like if you have a plant, a creeper growing in the garden, you take some scissors, chomp, 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 and just cut a little bit. Then that plant will become so weak from those cuts. So bhakti lata becomes cut by this boomerang of aparada. You throw it out and it comes back. Tong, 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 tong. It cuts the plant. So whatever, as what they say, whatever goes around comes around. They have this phrase. They have some hippie phrase or something from America. American slang as usual. Whatever goes around comes around. So whatever you broadcast, whatever you cast out, it comes back to you. So this principle, that's a negative application of this idea of deposit, or let's say action and reaction. But then there's a positive implication, or the positive application of the principle. By thinking of great souls and thinking of their great qualities, then that comes to you. That comes to you. Their humility, their tolerance, their realizations, their purity. So this is a real principle. It really works. That's why there's so many biographies of Vaishnavas written, and biographies of the Lord in Hindi, Bengali, and English. You can read about the biography of the six Goswamis, or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, or Srivas Thakur, or Srinivas Acharya, Vamshidas Babaji, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So many great saints. Madhusudan Das Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji, Gaurakishore Das Babaji. You can read all their biographies. And it's part of the Vaishnava culture, part of the sadhana. It's part of the sadhana bhakti. It's actually not only Krishna's Bhagavata, not only the glories and pastimes of Sri Krishna, like Bhagavatam, but also these other books are very important. Because when you read about them, and you hear about their qualities, and their preaching, and their bhajan, and their actions, and their good qualities, then it comes to us, and that what it's telling here, Bhaktivinoda is saying, that we will increase our determination, which is so weak, and so limited in Kali Yuga, by hearing about how determined they were, or they are, if they're living still, in their bhajan, in their devotional practices. That determination will come to us. Oh, they get the six Goswamis. They only sleep 1.5 hours a day, from 2 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock in the morning until 3:36 in the morning. They take rest at 2. They get up at 3:30, 1.5 hours a day. Nidra hara vihara kadi vichito chatyanta dino chayo. Why? Because Radha Krishna Gunas Matir Madhuri Ma. They had service to do in their Siddha Sarup. Because Radha and Krishna wake up at 3:36 and Radha and Krishna take rest at 2. So when the master takes rest, then the servants take rest. And before the master awakens, the servants must awaken. We lived in one guest house called Temple Garden. And the lady in charge there, her name was Radharani. That's very much anukul for Braj Bhakti. So Radharani, she was in charge over there, and she had many servants, chokidars and all these different workers, gardeners and cooks and different people, five, eight people, men. So when she was awake, sitting in the garden, and they would be running around like busy bees, doing this and that. But as soon as she would take rest in the afternoon, after lunch, then they would also take rest. Here and there, although they're being paid. She sleeps 2 or 3 hours. They sleep 2 or 3 hours. Then as soon as she would wake up, hey, chokidar, turn on the generator. Generator chalu. And then Pankaj. And everybody, everyone wakes up. And Radharani wants some seva. So it was the same, but they sleep so many hours. But the mantras, Rupa Mantri, Rupa Goswami, this is it. And you hear, so determined, so much seva. And what do you mean? I'm sleeping 6, 8, 9 hours a day. What is this? I'm like a dead log, a dead piece of wood. As Prabhupada often said about sleeping, he says, sleeping is dead condition. Sleeping is dead condition. Negative program. No contribution. No progress. No advancement. No bhakti. Only snoring. Better be dead. So this is how it works, that we read about their lives, their contributions, especially their bhajan. How do they eat? How they eat? How they walk? And Krishna, this discussion is there, and also in Gita. Arjuna is asking, okay, you're telling me to be a transcendental personality, to always think of you and do my work, but what are these transcendental people? How do they walk? How do they act? What is their bhav? What is their mood? What What is their mentality? What is the position of their heart? Can you tell me something about that? What is this? Give me more definition about a transcendentalist thing? Then Krishna explains the qualities and actions and mind and bhav of a transcendentalist. And then Arjuna says, oh, yeah, I should be like that. I should be like... So it worked for Arjuna. So it can also work for us. And this is the teaching of our Mahajan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a Mahajan. A great spiritual realized spiritual teacher. And he's telling us that we should discuss, we should hear about, remember and discuss the devotional practices of great souls, like the Sadhu Goswamis or our Sampradayika Acharyas. And what will happen as a result of this? We will become more determined to chant all around at one time, to get up, to sleep less, to read more, etc. Then, there's, of course, Haridas Thakur, we mentioned something about this, and how he was being chopped up in all these marketplaces because of converting to Krishna consciousness. So one miscreant, Kazi, tortured Haridas Thakur by having him caned in 22 marketplaces. Although Haridas Thakur was practically beaten to death. At that time, after being beaten with canes, it's like big sticks, beaten to death, he made a very wonderful statement, which is quoted in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Kanda kanda hai deya jaya jadi pran, tabuami varane na chadi hari na. Haridas Thakur said, even if my body is kanda kanda deha, cut into pieces, so many, you chop it up into so many pieces, and jadi pran, I lose my life. Tabuami varane na chadi hari na. I will never give up chanting the Lord's holy name. This is definitely a very significant example of determination. The utmost determination. You chop me, burn me, cut me, finish me, kill me, but still my bones will go on chanting Hare Krishna. You'll see my teeth, my skull going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There's no more skin, there's no more pran, there's no more heart, but my skull, my teeth will go ta 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 ta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that's really a sterling example of determination. And I described about Prabhupada also, but you can see that. So we finish this point, and then we're almost finished this chapter. A progressive sadhaka should always remember what the quality of his life was before receiving the causeless mercy of Sri Guru. This is page 86. The grace of Guru gives one a new life of happiness and hope, fulfillment, peace and perfection. Recalling one's previous useless activities, recollecting one's previous useless activities, this will increase one's gratitude and affection for Sri Guru. This in turn deepens our determination to practice sadhana and strive sincerely to achieve the goal of Radha Govinda Prem. May the following candid words, candid means very personal, intimate words, may the following candid words of Srila Prabhupada bless all the readers with renewed determination to chant the holy names of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said in 1977, 5 months before he left his body, in his room in Vrindavan, in Ramanretu. Srila Prabhupada said, I have gone through a variety of stages of life. So, I have got full experience of this material world. I don't want it. That determination is there. Society, family, love, friendship, these nonsense, everything out, I have tasted. I am no more interested with this material world. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.